Chapter 1, 1 Samuel chapter 1, and today is Mother's Day, and I'd like to start off by just saying that I thank God for mothers. I thank God for the women that he's placed in my life and those who have been an influence on me. The Lord gave me a good mother, and she was always a good influence on me and took care of me, and I'm thankful for her, and I'm also thankful for the mother of my children. She's also a wonderful mother. I couldn't ask for a better wife or a better mother than the one that he gave to me. And so I'm going to preach you a Mother's Day message this morning about a woman who was not yet a mother, but then God made her a mother. And the title of the message this morning is A Mother Made by the Lord. A Mother Made by the Lord in 1 Samuel chapter number 1. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for your blessings upon us. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to assemble together. We thank you, Lord, that we can see each other's faces and we can have fellowship with one another and we can sing together. Lord, it almost seemed like there wasn't enough songs there because we haven't sang in so long. Lord, we thank you, God, for a song in our heart. We thank you, Lord, for a hymn book. We thank you, Lord, for the precious scriptures that you've given to us and for brothers and sisters in Christ and for the day that you've given to us. Lord, we thank you for mothers. Lord, they're a precious gift. We thank you for children. Your word says that children are an heritage from the Lord. And so, Father, we thank you for every good and every perfect gift that comes down from you. We couldn't reach it without you. Lord, you gave it to us. You rained it down to us, Father, and we thank you for it. Same goes with this message this morning, Father. Lord, I pray that you'd open up our hearts. I pray that you would draw us to yourself and that we would understand and we would grow and we would learn and we would glean something from the scriptures this morning, Father. You know the heart of each and every individual that's here. You know what they're struggling with, Father, and so I pray that, Lord, you would help them and strengthen them, Lord. We pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 1, and we could read the entire chapter, but for time's sake, we're going to read 18 verses. And we're going to reference some other verses in chapter number 1 and chapter number 2 as we go along, just to make some applications and just to give you some points of thought. Verse number 1 says, Now there was a certain man of Ramath-Zophim of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuph, an Ephrathite. And he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other was Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. So there you have two women. One has children, one doesn't have children. This man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priest of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to her all her sons and daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. So the Lord enters the picture, and the Lord has done something there at the end of verse number 5. He has shut up her womb. Pivotal point in the story. And her adversary also provoked her sore to make her fret because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when he went up to the house of the Lord, so he provoked her, therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou, and why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am I not better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon his seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look upon the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Eli spake, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought that she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, No, my lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, for the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. We could read the entire chapter, but this woman named Hannah, she goes home and she becomes with child. And she does have a son. And she rejoices about this son that she has. And she gives him back to the Lord just as she had vowed to Eli. And we start chapter number 2 in the first 10 verses. Hannah is again praying and she's rejoicing because of the deliverance that this young child is going to bring into the lives of Israelites. And then after that, the Lord does visit her again and she has more children even after that. We'll get to that here in just a little bit, but this mother, Hannah, was made by the Lord. Are you a mother this morning that is made by the Lord? Has God intervened in your life? And can you point back and can you say, look, God is the one who made me the mother that I am today? I hope that you can. In the year 2001, there was a documentary that came out, and it was a show that was produced to show how different products were made. I enjoyed the show. I thought it was a pretty good show. The name of it was called How It's Made. I don't know if it's still on today or not, but it shows the steps and the details and the ingredients and the components and just everything that you have to go through in order to make a product. And all these steps and different things have to be observed in order to make the product. Well, if you want to make a good product, you have to have good products, or you have to have good ingredients to make those products. And motherhood is no different. Motherhood, I believe, is a precious and a noble calling of God for every woman. It's the highest calling, I believe, that a woman could get would to be a mother. It doesn't matter what society says today. Motherhood is the highest calling, I believe, for a woman. And there are mothers today in this world who are made by God, and there are mothers in this world today who do not regard the Word of God. They do not care what the Bible has to say. And I believe today in our society that there is a dearth of godly mothers today. And I believe that the family unit is crumbling today because of the parents, because of the moms and dads. They're not fulfilling what they ought to fulfill, and therefore our families are falling apart. It's not the children's fault, although there are rebellious kids in godly homes. I understand that, but by and large, it is the moms and dads. They're not paying attention to their kids. They're off doing something else. They've got something else more important than their children to tend to. And the children are basically raising themselves. But we observe a woman named Hannah in this story, and God is about to plunge Hannah into motherhood. And there's a reason why he's doing this. This is not done in a vacuum. The reason is that God needed someone to be a good priest in the nation of Israel. Up to this point, God ruled directly over the nation of Israel. It was a theocracy. They had no king. All they had was a priesthood, and God spoke through the priest. And the priest was the judge and the leader and the nation of Israel. Well, the priest at that time was Eli. And Eli had two sons, Hophni and Phinehas. Well, Hophni and Phinehas were not good men. The Bible says that they were men of Belial, that is, spiritually worthless men. And Eli, their father, apparently was no better, because Eli let them get away with their debauchery and their sin. We see that in 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse number 12, that Eli's sons were sons of Belial. Well, how do we know that they did not know the Lord? Well, by the way that they handled their priestly responsibilities. They would give sacrifices to the Lord, but they treated those sacrifices with contempt. They thought they were worthless as well. They were not following the prescribed way that they were supposed to give sacrifices. And then when the women would come to the temple, they would have sexual immorality with the women of the temple. And I'm sure that God did not like that. So he's fixing to take them out of their position. So they did not know God. And God says, look, I'm going to get me a different priest. I'm going to get me someone else to be a judge over my people. And so he looks down and he says, I'm going to choose Hannah to be the vessel that I will bring forth this son Samuel to be the priest over Israel. Well, Hannah was a woman of God. Hannah was a woman of high character. And she made a difference in the lives of her family and the lives of an entire nation. You look at the lives of the nation of Israel after Samuel was born, he had a great impact there. It all started with Hannah. So Hannah is a godly mother, and she is of the Lord. I can see that God had made this mother. What are the qualities of a mother that is made by the Lord? How is a mother made by the Lord? Are you a mother that is made by the Lord? We don't have to just apply this to men. I mean, to women. We can apply this to men as well. But this morning, a mother that is made by the Lord is, number one, she's a woman with a deficiency. She doesn't have it all together. She's not perfect. She's not Miss America. She's not the one that has just flawless, man. She has no deficiencies at all. No, that's not a woman that is made by the Lord. What really made Hannah and what really makes the story is her deficiency. God had sent something into her life that was less than perfect. And when God makes something, it begins with God. It doesn't begin with the creature. It begins with the Creator. God made all things, and all creative acts begin with God. They do not begin with the creature. And God had made Hannah, and God enters the story, and he does something that is unthinkable, that you think he wouldn't do that. But he does, because he's got a purpose and he's got a plan behind all of that. We see in verse number 5 that the Lord had shut up her womb. Well, the Lord had restricted Hannah from having children. Well, the rest of the women could have children, but she couldn't because of God. This trial, this hurt, this embarrassment, this experience that she was going through was all to make the mother. God had a reason for doing all of that. And then she has other women that are persecuting her because she can't have kids. There's another deficiency. She's looked at something that's less than. She's not like the other women. So God is making a specific kind of woman, a specific caliber of woman. And when God makes the woman, she's going to have some deficiencies. She's going to have some weaknesses. God restricts her from having kids. Well, this wasn't because she had sinned. This wasn't because God is going to bring judgment upon her. She had done something wrong, and so God is intervening in her life and saying, I'm bringing judgment upon you. Now, God will do that sometimes. But not all deficiencies and not all weaknesses are God's judgment. God is doing something totally different here with this deficiency. There's been many great women down through history that have been great women of God, and they had deficiencies. They had weaknesses. One such woman was named Fanny J. Crosby. When she was 6 weeks old, she caught a cold. The regular doctor was out of town, so they went to a country doctor. Country doctor prescribed a hot mustard plaster solution. I don't want that on my eyes. And I hope you don't either. But that's what he prescribed. He said, put this on her eyes, she'll be fine. The young child began to cry. They didn't know why. They went back to the doctor and said, look, the child is crying. She won't stop crying. He said, oh, it'll be fine. Just leave it alone. It's just working its way out of her body. It'll be fine. That's not what happened. She went blind. She lost her sight. And she could have gotten angry about that. For the rest of her life, she had no more sight in her eyes. She couldn't got angry and said, God, why did you allow this to happen? Why did this man have to come into my life and ruin my sight? Why? I'm angry with you, God. But she didn't complain. And 85 years later, she wrote this. I have not for a moment felt a spark of resentment against him. That would be the doctor. For I have always believed from my youth up that the good Lord, in his infinite mercy, and by this means, her blindness consecrated me to do the work that I am still permitted to do. Fanny J. Crosby wrote, God brought this into my life for a specific purpose. God allowed this to come in. God actually sent this in as a means of her consecration. And Fanny J. Crosby went on to write 5,000 to 9,000 hymns. And we're seeing some of those in our hymn books today. Now, what if God would have not have let this blindness come into her life? This tragedy would not have come in. I doubt if she would have wrote 5,000 to 9,000 hymns. She wrote songs like, All the Way My Savior Leads Me. Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. Near the cross, oh, pass me not, my gentle Savior. When trouble comes into your life, how are you going to respond? What's it going to mean to you? Because a mother made by the Lord has deficiencies. She has trouble in her life. Maybe you're a mother or a woman or a man or a daughter here today, and things are less than perfect in your life. And you're thinking, man, I wish that this thing in my life was different. I wish this circumstance was not this way. I wish that I was different. I wish that I acted different. I wish that I didn't have this weakness that I have. And you've tried to change it, and you just can't change it. You just can't do it. God brings weaknesses in our lives to make the person. And just because you have a deficiency doesn't mean that God's hands are bound. Doesn't mean that God's hands are tied. Human activity does not restrict God's power. A weakness in life can become a strength. What do you do whenever weaknesses come in? Whenever deficiencies come into your life, what do you do? I'll tell you what Hannah did. She started to pray. That's the first thing that she did. And a woman that is made, a mother that is made by the Lord, she is a mother of prayer. She didn't start to gripe and complain. She says, no, God, help me. I need some help here. She looks to God for help. We see that in verses 10 and 11. The Bible says, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou will indeed look upon thine affliction of thine handmaid and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. She said, God, if you will give me a son, if you will give me a child, then I will give him back to you, and I will allow him to serve you. Hannah is a woman of God, and she believes in God, and she trusts God, and she relies upon God. And she prays to the Lord. I notice that her prayer is a prayer of humility. She doesn't go to God and say, look, God, I've got this all figured out. I don't have any problems. Lord, this is what I need done. And Lord, if you'll just listen to me and listen to my advice, then life will be much better. She doesn't pretend that she's strong. She doesn't pretend that she's okay. No, it's a prayer of humility. I also noticed her position as she prays. She said, Lord, I belong to you. Lord, I am your handmaid. Lord, I am your servant. She comes to God with a spirit of servitude towards the Lord. She admits that, Lord, I am beneath and you are above. Lord, I belong to you and you are the king and I am your servant. She is a woman of prayer. When God makes the mother, she is a woman of prayer. And she asked God for a child by his grace. She says, Lord, I can't do this on my own. I'm already restricted from having kids. I can't do it on my own. Lord, would you give me a son? I promise him I'll give him back to you. She was a woman of prayer. And then God remembered Hannah, and he gave her a son. But one thing I noticed about Hannah is that after she realized that God had remembered her, she didn't forget the Lord. She remembered the Lord. After she had the son, she named him Samuel. She says, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to name him Samuel because that means God has heard. So she remembered the Lord. You know, many times we get into a bind and we get into a situation in life and we cry out to God and we want God to hear us and we want God to answer our prayers and we want God to do something for us. And then God does something for us and then we forget about God. We forget to praise God. We don't acknowledge God the way that we ought to. And we go on about our merry way. I'd encourage you this morning, look, if God has remembered you and God has answered your prayer, remember the Lord after he's answered your prayer. She's a woman of great character and great faithfulness. We see Hannah praising God after God had given her a son in chapter 2 in verses 1 to 10. And God had made a woman prayer and faithfulness. Are you a woman and a mother of prayer this morning? Do you pray to God for the needs of your family and for the needs of others? Could you say of yourself, look, I am a woman of prayer. That's something that I do every day. Do you desire for the next generation to know the God that you serve? Do you desire for the next generation to be faithful to God? Do you desire to know God? Because God works out his plans and his purposes in this world, listen to me, through people that pray. That doesn't mean that God has to have our prayers. And that doesn't mean that God is weakened because he desires prayer. God commands us to pray, and that is his method and means of carrying out his purposes in this world. And if people don't pray, it ain't going to happen. You must, and I must, be men and women of prayer. And Hannah trusted God enough to pray to him. Do you pray to the Lord and ask him? Are you willing to take that position of humility and say, look, God, it's you that's in charge. It's you that are the creator. And I am your servant. I belong to you. Are you willing to admit this morning that, look, I don't have life all figured out. And I must depend upon God. And so therefore I go to him in prayer. When God makes the person, they're a person of prayer. Every man and woman of God are people of prayer. And I'd submit to you here this morning that Hannah was a woman of prayer because Hannah was a woman who had a Savior. She had a Savior. And when God makes the mother, she is a woman with a Savior. We see that in chapter 2, verses 1 to 2. Hannah rejoices in God, her Savior. She was not a Savior, a person that saved herself. She was a woman who had a Savior, and her Savior was God. Here's Hannah praying again in chapter 2 and verse 1. She said, and Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoiceth in the Lord. Mine horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies. Because I rejoice in thy salvation. Her heart rejoiced not in herself, but her heart rejoiced in the Lord. She said, God, it is you that has brought this to pass. God, it is you that has brought this son into my life and the life of Israel. To be a future deliverer and a future priest. It is you, Lord. She was not a self-savior. She was not depending upon herself. She was depending upon the Lord. She says, "My horn is exalted." You know what the horn is? That's her strength. Her strength. She says, "Mine horn is exalted in you, Lord. It is you that is my strength." She says, "I will rejoice in thy salvation, Lord. It is your salvation, Lord. You are the one who is bringing it to pass." She is a woman with a Savior. She says, "There is no other rock beside you, God. I'm going to build my life upon you." She's a woman with a Savior. She's not her own Savior. She's fully dependent upon the Lord. As I thought about this, there's another woman in the New Testament that has a similar prayer, just like Hannah's. Her name is Mary, the mother of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what she says about this exact same thing as Hannah's prayer? She says in Luke chapter 1, Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." Are you a woman with a Savior this morning? I'm sure that each and every one of you would probably say, "Yes, yes, Jesus Christ is my Savior. He is. I'm saved." But I believe that we are living in a day and age where Christianity is what I would call Christless Christianity. It is a Christianity without Christ. I'd encourage you to put yourself to the test this morning, because most Christians are their own Savior. Jesus Christ is not their Savior. You know who our Saviors are for Christianity? It's our bank account. Our bank account is what gives us meaning and worth. When we look at our lives and we say, "Look, I've got this much money in the bank, so therefore I am worth this much." It's our good looks. It's our good looks. It's our good morals and our standards that get us where we need to be. And the Bible is not a book about Jesus Christ, and it's not a Bible or a book about a Savior. No, it's where we get our life principles from. It's a self-help book. That's what the book is. We need religion. But Hannah never referenced any of those things. Hannah never referenced money or morals or science or good looks or her career or any of those things. She hung it all upon the God of the Bible. That's what she hung it on. None of that was mentioned as her foundation for her worth. It was all upon God. She only had one rock, and that was God Almighty. But the God of the Bible is not the rock of Christianity anymore. Jesus Christ is not the source of our happiness and our joy anymore. Our happiness and our salvation is found in life success. That's what it's found in. As long as we have the perfect life, as long as everything's going okay, then we're content. Then Jesus is good. Then God is good. God only plays a supporting role in our life. He's only a religious guru in our lives. He's not really our Savior. Our good morals are our Savior. Our Facebook likes are our Savior. Our leisure time is our Savior. Our good looks and our career are our ultimate Savior. It's not Jesus Christ anymore. It's a Christless Christianity. We are a Christ. But a woman of God or a man of God finds their worthiness and their happiness and their joy and their life in the only rock that there is that never moves, and it's our Lord Jesus Christ. And Hannah said, "God is my Savior. He is my Savior." I didn't challenge you to think about who your Savior is here this morning. Because if you and I, we trade anything else in for God or the Lord Jesus Christ, we are engaging in idolatry and we're breaking the first commandment of the Holy Scriptures. Is God your Savior this morning? Hannah knew her Savior, and it was God. There's good news this morning. When God is your Savior, you're going to be blessed. You're going to be blessed. Hannah was a woman who was blessed, and in the end, you're going to be blessed. Here's Hannah, and she gives up everything that she wants to the Lord. She says, "God, if you'll only give me this one thing that I want and that I need, I will give him back to you." And she does. When he's a young boy, just a toddler, sends him up to the temple and he begins to serve the Lord. The thing that she wanted most, she gave it back to God. But did you know that God blessed her in the end with more kids and more influence than she could ever have gotten by keeping that boy at home. We read in chapter 2, verses 20 and 21, that Eli blessed Elkanah and his wife, and the Lord gave to her three sons and two daughters. Three sons and two daughters more. And then in the end it says, and the child Samuel grew before the Lord. God blessed her with more kids, and then she gave her a son that was a great influence on an entire nation. Why? Because she was willing to sacrifice, and she was willing to give. Hannah only gave one son to God, but then God gave her back three sons and two daughters, plus a son who was a great influence. What did Samuel do? Well, Samuel succeeded Eli in the office of priest of the Lord, and he judged an entire nation. He brought the nation of Israel back to a place of repentance. Why? Because Hannah was willing to sacrifice. She was willing to give back. Samuel ends up being a prophet of God and speaking to God on the behalf of an entire nation, and the influence and the fruitfulness of this woman goes on and on and on today. And what are we here? Year 2020. And we're still talking about Hannah. And we have two books of the Bible named 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel. God blesses his people with good gifts, and a mother that is made by the Lord is a woman who's blessed, has a fruitful life. Are we made by the Lord this morning? I'm reminded of another virtuous woman in Proverbs chapter number 31. And this woman's blessed. But not only her, but her husband and her kids and the poor and everyone else that she comes in contact with is blessed because of this virtuous woman. The Bible says of her that in her mouth is the law of kindness. In the end of her life, her children rise up and call her blessed. Why? She was faithful to God all the way throughout her life. A mother that's made by the Lord is blessed and fruitful. And this morning, you might be sitting here, and you might not be a mother yet, or you might be a mother. And you're thinking about having kids, or what it's going to be like to have kids. And you think, man, I don't know if I can sacrifice that much. Or maybe you're a mother in the middle of it. And you think, man, I sure have sacrificed a lot. I've given a lot. I don't know, is it really worth it? Is it really worth it to give all my time up? I mean, moms, they wear so many hats in the household. They have to do so much in the household. Many times they're the cook for the entire home. They're the taxi driver. They're the ones that goes and drives everybody around their destinations. They're going to track meets and being the cheerleader. They're the laundry keeper. They're the housekeeper. They're the counselor. They're the friend. They're the confidant. They're all those things. And you say, it's not fair. I'm having to sacrifice my entire life for this. Is it going to be worth it in the end? All of this sacrifice that I'm having to make. I'd submit to you this morning that you can't sacrifice enough where God can't outgive that sacrifice. He'll give you a lot more than what you're sacrificing with. It'll be worth it in the end. It'll be worth it in the end. It's tough right now. I understand. And many times you feel like giving up. No, that's enough of this. I'm going to quit. But when the Lord makes the mother, he blesses her with a fruitful life. And in generations to come, they're also blessed because of you. I'd encourage you to be a godly mother this morning. Some things I want you to take away just very quickly. I know we're running out of time, but number one is this: children are a gift from God. Children are a gift from God. And today, motherhood is scorned and looked upon as a curse and a death sentence and all of that, but I believe that it's the highest calling of woman. And children today are discarded as trash through abortion, and they're left to fend for themselves, and they're not taught anything. Do you believe, or do you think, I don't think anybody would think this, but as children, are they gifts or are they curses? Look at them as gifts, precious gifts. Man, they're a treasure you hold in your hand. I hope that you view them as a blessing of grace. But number two, if you want to bear fruit, you must be willing to sacrifice. Everyone here, I'm sure, wants to be fruitful and they want to be blessed. But you're not going to be blessed unless you sacrifice. Unless you die to self, if you want to bear fruit. And then number three is this: whatever troubles that you're having in life are all a part of the greater plan and purpose of our gracious Lord. Everybody has hardships. Everybody has deficiencies. Everybody has things they're going through, but how do you view them? Do you view them as God working in your life and the grace of God working through all of that? Or do you believe it's a curse meant to destroy you? It can be something that can strengthen you. You know, as I was thinking about this and I was thinking about Hannah and how she brought forth this son into the world, there's another woman that was born about 2,000 years ago, and she brought forth a son as well. And this man was to be our great high priest, and his name is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is our Samuel. Jesus Christ is our Samuel. Jesus Christ is our Redeemer. Jesus Christ is the one who helps with our infirmities and the afflictions of life. Jesus is the one who helps us to pray. Jesus is the one who intercedes for us in prayer. The Holy Spirit does. Jesus Christ is our Savior, and we are blessed and we are fruitful because of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is our Samuel. Jesus Christ is our priest this morning. And if you want to be a godly mother this morning, you got to go to the Son. You got to go to the Son. You got to go to Jesus Christ. You're going to go to Jesus Christ this morning? I'd encourage you to, because when Jesus Christ comes, the Son will make us free. And we find our completeness and we find our wholeness in Jesus Christ and in Him alone. I don't know if everyone's saved here or not today. Maybe you would claim to be saved, or maybe you are saved. I don't know. But if you're not saved here this morning, I'd encourage you and plead with you this morning to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Believe on Him for salvation and in Him and Him alone. And He'll be with you every step of the way. No matter how hard life gets, He'll be with you. Thank you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your blessings upon us. Lord, we thank you for mothers. We thank You for mothers that are made by the Lord. Mothers where God has intervened and He has done something wonderful in their life. Something so awesome. They've given us kids. They've given us children. They love their husbands. They love You most of all. And it's coming out in all of their actions. God, thank You for these mothers. How precious they are, Lord. God, I pray that You would help us, Lord, to be the Christians that You called us to be, Lord. Even in trying times, Lord, help us to be who You called us to be, Lord. Help us to be faithful to You. Help us to trust You in everything. Lord, we love You and thank You, Lord, for Your blessings and Your grace upon us. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand, heads bowed and eyes closed. We'll have a few verses of invitation. You'd like to come and pray to the Lord? Are you a mother that's made by the Lord? Are you a man that's made by the Lord? A dad that's made by the Lord? Submitting to Him. Praying to Him. Trusting Him. You know for certain if you're saved. What are you trusting in? What are you trusting in? Is it Jesus Christ and something else, or is it just Jesus Christ?